If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded in June 2020.
Sefton of Fretzor Records. How are you, Ian?
Hello, Ronan. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I mean, cards on the table. I'm signed to your label.
I noticed.
That's not for you. That's for the viewers to know.
I know.
That this is. you noticed when you signed me. Yeah. That's nice. It's nice. So basically, we're just going to be talking through a little bit of an introduction to Ian and how he came to be doing what he's doing. And then we're going to be going through some of the acts that are coming through and being released at the moment and have been released so far on Fretzor. So, Ian, so you've Fretzor Records. How did that all start?
Well, do you know, it goes back to the 80s, I think. In fact, even earlier, I used to sit up late at night with a tape recorder recording all the John Peel sessions, including your big brothers. Ronan McManus's big brother is Declan McManus, also known as Elvis Costello, I'm sure most of you know. And I recorded all those sessions, and I had this hankering to release a bootleg. But being, you know, a teenager and skinned, that was never going to happen. But I think the seeds were sown then. And I came up with the title or the logo for Fretzor Records in 1980.
Wow. That's only a few years ago then, for you.
My head.
So, yeah. But life's path didn't bring you down that road straight away, did it?
No, it didn't.
So tell us a little bit about when it actually came to fruition for you and you know, what happened around that.
Yeah, as you said, life kind of got in the way for the next 30-odd years, really. And after a lot of years in high-pressure sales jobs, I actually became poor mentally health, declined. I was quite ill. Didn't work for almost 5 years. And it was a chance conversation with somebody at a gig I went to that made me realise that I just needed to do something positive with my life. I'd become a bit of a couch potato. And I needed to do something positive. And I think the seeds, the germinating seeds really started on that train journey back from Perth. And the idea was to do a charity album for mental health. It seemed the right cause, the right time.
So Music Minds was born. And at this point, we already knew each other. You used to come to gigs. And I mean, you've always been a music lover, even since the days of your dreamings of 1980 of a record label. You've followed music all that time and been very active in going to see live music and an active interest. And that's kind of how our paths crossed.
Exactly. I mean, the sort of target list for the album were really all the bands, as you say, I was going to see. The music industry had changed a lot, particularly in recent years, as you know, and certainly the big bands of yesterday were now playing smaller venues. Everybody was doing meet and greets. So the shortlist initially was bands that I'd see regularly that virtually knew me by name, and they were the kind of people that I thought would be supportive. So that was the blank sheet of A4, and the list were bands that I was going to see. And as you say, people like you were on my list and top of the list to approach.
Yeah, so you had plans to make kind of a normal size CD at one CD album, but it grew quite quickly, didn't it? And as you got as the interests kind of grew and people kind of got more interested. So you ended up with a three CD album.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say I was a great salesman. It was my salesmanship. But really, it was the fact that, you know, it was a good cause at the right time. And these musicians were so generous and so supportive that I got to the point where I'd get really nervous and anxious about approaching some of the bigger stars. But as soon as I got into the pitch, they were on board straight away. And as you say, it was a triple CD, 50 acts. But I deliberately wanted to choose a whole range. I tried to approach some of the famous guys. So you've got Graham Gorman of 10cc, you've got Chris Difford and Glenn Tilbrook of Squeeze, you've got loads of other artists, Nick Kershaw, multi-million seller. So all these guys, I hope, would pull in the interest. But I also deliberately chose lesser-known acts, even acts that only released on their own labels, to try and introduce people to new music. So as you say, my love of the music was also trying to help and support some of these lesser-known acts to hopefully take them to, you know, to new audiences.
Just a perfect day.
For myself, I've had my issues with depression and anxiety. I think that was quite a common story across the people that were in. I mean, I think in music generally, there's definitely there's a lot of mental health issues across it. So I think it obviously resonated with a lot of people, like it did with me. Yeah. But you did try to make it an uplifting album. You didn't want to have 50 songs about.
Well, it was it was interesting because sometimes
it wasn't 50 ways to leave your body.
No, some people did offer songs about depression, and in fact, one of the highlights for me was Chris Difford's song called "Flat," which was actually quite whimsical and quite tongue in cheek. And in fact, we even did a great cartoon video where, because the songs were so literal, one of the lines was, you know, sometimes you wake up feeling flat. It's like, I'm like a dog without a tail. I'm like a shell without a snail. It's a very interesting lyrical and observational way of expressing that kind of not being quite there, not wanting to engage with people.
I'm like a dog without a tail. I'm like a shell without a snail. I have no aims, I have no goals. I'm feeling flat and full of holes. I try to smile, but how it hurts. Here come the fits and now the spurts. But I won't ride upon a wave. I'm feeling really flat today.
I didn't want songs about suicide, depression, illness, bulimia, you know. They're all part of the broad range of mental health problems, but I wanted the music to be uplifting as well. As you know, some of the songs were hard hitting and were quite difficult. One, Tom Robinson's song was about young male suicide, so there were some serious songs in there, but also lots of funny and interesting songs too.
I think there's a lot of the general vibe was kind of uplifting, and I think the idea was to be inspiring. For people who may be feeling that way, that, you know, that there is a way forward. And
absolutely.
And I think, and he did the live event, didn't you, in Islington?
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Exactly. You got as many of them there.
I mean, that seemed to be the obvious culmination. It wasn't planned originally, but yeah, we, like most things, I seem to bite off more than I think I can chew sometimes. And yeah, if you remember, you were one of 11 acts on one evening at the O2 in Islington, and it was... it was an amazing event logistically. It was chaos backstage, but serene and swan-like on stage, I think. It was a great evening. It was like one huge
party. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. Like
you said, you know, it was about raising awareness. So, in fact, I was absolutely knocked out when so many of the acts went on stage and you know, on an open mic, and probably for the first time, they would actually share the fact that they'd had mental health problems. So, you know, it's trying to break down these barriers. The reason I chose it was because I was one of those typical middle-aged men who sucked it up, wouldn't admit I was struggling until it was too late. So really, the campaign was all about raising awareness. You know, we did a cartoon and an animation, as you know, to try and say, there are simple things you can do to counter the problems, you know, like eat well, drink, keep down on the booze, keep down on the caffeine, get plenty of sleep, get some exercise, talk to your friends. You know, there's loads of simple messages there that I thought that, you know, we all forget, and they're not difficult things, and they can all help in their own way.
And I think the passion for is a perfect thing for you, because I mean, from knowing you before we started working together, but your passion for music and the passion for this subject was apparent. It was a perfect marriage of the two things.
Well, how long must the people die before the guilty ones are caught? Oh, will you spare a thought for an ideal world where we're free to choose? For an ideal world, we're no longer born to lose. In the ideal world, we could start again. Now in my real world, let's put an end to suffering.
It was such great fun working with so many of these acts. I mean, you know, we did the gig, we made videos. A lot of the musicians weren't on labels, so were free agents. And it was just so much fun that at the end of the culmination of the Music Minds campaign, the end of 2018, as you say, I sort of suddenly realized I had all the infrastructure there for a record label. So, you know, my dream had come through almost by accident. And I think with any label trying to start, you've got to try and find the talent and try and find, you know, the people who want to work with you. Well, in fact, for me, it was straightforward and very easy, because having done the Music Minds campaign, people actually approached me. People came to me and said, you know, it was good fun, you know, and we talked about my plans and my aspirations. Of course, you know, you were on that list early doors as well, because we'd had such fun and you really helped, you know, not only with the gig, but if you remember, you went to David Lloyd's and you and Luke did a little in-store at the David Lloyd's fitness center there for us. So, you know, it was those people that wanted to do more with me that they kind of made that job of the A&R side of things almost didn't exist, because the people were coming to me, which is fantastic.
Well, I think everybody, I mean, I think I speak on behalf of all the artists signed to the label, that your passion for music and your supporting of the art and that side of it is perfect. I mean, it's all that you can ask for as an artist. And I think that was kind of seemed to be your approach. And it seems to be a lot more, you know, the sort of days of the big guy with a cigar to, you know, sort of punching desk and telling people what to do, those the days are gone. And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, been able to come to you and share issues that I have day to day, and I think that's a massive part of it, being there as a support in all sorts of ways. And that's something that Fritzl does very well. Then again, I would say that I'm biased.
I think the thing is that I came in, you know, with 30 years of sales experience working with big companies like IBM, but I didn't really know the inner workings of the music industry. So, you know, in all the projects and in every project I'm involved in now, to me, collaboration is a very important part of it. You know, we all bring experiences and knowledge and skills and preferences to the party, and there's no point me being the desk thumping, cigar smoking executive, as much as I might like the idea, actually. I don't think that those days will ever happen again, really. And also, as I say, you know, I guess the ethos of the label is I'm working with experienced musicians. You know, I'm not having to find brand new talent. My aspirations are not to find those guys on YouTube who are playing in their bedrooms. So I guess that's what we're all doing at the moment, I guess, aren't we? But you know, in terms of finding the talent, if you look at the roster, they're all experienced musicians. It's just, you know, my hope is to try to help all these guys get up the a few more rungs of the ladder. You know, I sometimes joke I can't wait to get rid of them, not because I don't like working with them, but hopefully because they've been successful and, you know, they've moved on to the next thing, which is
well, I think it's a wider issue which certainly the major labels. And I think something that that a lot of us have been worried about is the fact that the sort of the talent isn't getting signed and developed. And a lot of people, unless you have that sort of top 10 hit really early on, you're kind of throw on the scrap heap. And it's And there's a lot of really good musicians out there, just because labels need to see instant reward, and so there seems to be a lot more smaller labels picking up really good talent that people just aren't developing, and you know, maybe people feel they've passed their sell by date, and it's not true, because there's a massive music lovers demographic, you know, that goes all the way up from the younger people right up to 60, 70 years old, of people are in, trawling through record vinyl stores and things like that. So there seems to have gone full circle to where, when my big brother was signed to Stiff, that sort of independent label that existed a lot around that time, seems to come full circle, and these things are now relevant again. And Fretzor is an example, a perfect example of a not too far from the Stiff model, really.
No, I don't think we're quite as outrageous. I think we're a bit more middle than old age. So, we don't go as far as using some of the choice phrases that Stiff Records use. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I was buying all the Stiff Records as they came out back in the 70s, and it certainly was a label to admire for the fact that it did push against all the conventions of the day. But I think today the challenges are different, the model is different, and I think, you know, the challenge, and the one that I've chosen to take on, is, as you say, is it's not for the lack of talent. It's how to reach your audience out there. And, you know, with so many ways to consume music and so many ways that people consume music without buying it, which is clearly a challenge in its own right as well. The way the label settled is that we're kind of Americana, but, and we thought we were at one stage, but I think we're more than that. I think simply the roster is a bunch of great musicians, great singer-songwriters. And so I've tried not to be that focused in terms of our reach, but certainly a lot of the guys would fit in that genre. And indeed, you know, when I went to, and I go to gigs with a lot of these bands, you know, what I see is a more mature audience who still buy merch, still buy CDs, still buy records. And, you know, that's the kind of person I am. I still very much buy CDs and records still today. So, you know, the logo of the label is a vinyl record. And, you know, the aspiration is that with every release, we'll put out vinyl still. You know, you look at
that's a thriving market now, isn't it? The independent records labels, record stores, sorry. And vinyl is also, it's an important point, but vinyl is actually a physical sort of medium that you can actually make money from sales of, which is
absolutely
seems to have kind of been a thing we thought we'd sort of kiss goodbye to. But there's actually, you can actually make money from vinyl records, and there's a whole community of vinyl lovers and people who are getting into that. And it has been for a while. It's not a new thing, but, you know.
With one of our roster, My Darling Clementine, as you know, they've done a couple of EPs now of Elvis Costello covers. So, of course, when they brought that proposition to me as a huge Costello fan, there was no way I was going to turn down signing these guys up. You know, they've done a great job with the songs. They're working with Steve Naive. But also what we've done is we've put the EPs out as 12-inch vinyl, and they're limited to 300 copies. So, you know, we're creating and hopefully creating something of quality. You know, a lot of time and effort went not only to the recording, but the physical aspects of it. And, you know, these things are still beautiful objects to own, which is something that I really don't understand the people in the download world. I can see the convenience of it. But, you know, I go back to the days when you'd buy a record with your pocket money every week and you'd read the lyrics, you know, song by song. You sit and hold it in your hands, and that sort of tactile experience is something I've never lost. So very much part of the ethos of the label will be to produce physical product, you know, as often as possible.
That's great. So the Music Minds was the end of 2018. End of 2018. So you decided to sort of launch and start signing people sort of around the beginning or 2019, would that be about right?
Yeah, that's right. So,
and as you've discussed the idea that you'd be kind of spending 2019 kind of stocking the sort of the shelves as such.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about how that 2019 went for you, because it was about building a roster, really, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So the first group I approached actually was a couple of brothers called Mick and Rich Hanscom of Junk Boy. And simply because they gave us a track for Music Minds, but they said they also had a whole album virtually ready to go. And knowing that these guys were easy to get on with and didn't have, you know, high expectations necessarily from what they were doing, and they were very supportive of me, I thought, you know, I'll start with an easy project of releasing their first album, which we did. But things seemed to roll on. So, you know, already we're talking about reissuing their previous album, which will be coming up later in the summer, called Sovereign Skies. And so, you know, with each act I start work with, I normally have in mind a new project. You know, clearly musicians are most excited about their most current work, but I always try to work with artists to have a mind to, you know, reissuing something from their past as well, because I wanted to get a lot of music on the label. I wanted to draw people in. I wanted people to sort of start listening to one artist and discover other artists on the label. So yeah, 2019 was very much fairly breakneck pace of signing people up, getting people into the studio, supporting them and recording new material. And slowly we started issuing singles and first releases during 2019. But yeah, 2020 was intended to be the big year of selling lots of merchandise, of getting lots of people out on the road, selling records. Yeah. So for us, this has come, you know, this whole lockdown couldn't have come at a worse time, really.
Yes, you but you have been releasing stuff this year. I mean, it's this,
yeah.
You know, this, as speaking as an artist on the label, you know, it's frustrating that we can't get out there and really get out on the road and do the live gigs. But you've had to adapt kind of the, you know, what you've been doing. But you have been getting things out there. Philip Rambo is Switchbox TV. Viewers will know him from, obviously, a lot of the guys have done Artists for NHS videos as part of that charity drive. So Philip's album, Canadiana, came out. Is that right?
Yeah, it came out the end of April. So we released three singles with him. Canadiana came out. It's got some great reviews. I mean, again, Philip, I've known Philip for ages. He was a big part of the Music Minds campaign. He was my, you know, reference point and advocate. I started off as a fan, and I started to be almost like a stalker, you know, following him around. And he was very, very supportive. So again, when we talked about potential projects, he and I discussed Canadiana, as it became known. And yeah, it's been a great album. It's been getting great reviews. We've pressed up 200 CDs in this case initially, because at this point, all the record stores were closed down. Even Amazon wasn't stocking and selling. So rather than sit and wait, which is what some of the majors have done, we decided to carry on. We pressed some CDs. We created our own Bandcamp site. And as you say, we were using all the usual digital service providers, but also we've created effectively our own shop and are selling direct to customers. So yeah, you know, it was never my plan, but we realized it was the only way that we could probably get the music out to music lovers. And it's been a great success so far. So, you know, it could always be better. We've got to keep promoting. We've got to keep telling people our music is there. We're advertising in the press. We're trying everywhere we can to just let people know we're here.
It's great. I mean, Philip's album has got some fantastic musicians playing on the album, hasn't he? I mean, he just knows everybody. I mean, the level of musicians he knows is ridiculous. But I mean, there's some fantastic players.
It was really
on there, isn't it?
Through all his contacts that I suddenly realised how interconnected the world of music is, actually, for music lovers who don't necessarily know the music world. It's almost like 6 degrees of separation. Any two musicians on the planet are less than 6 degrees of separation. It was amazing when I started to see how people I didn't realize had anything to do with each other, either geographically or musically, would know each other. You know, so that happened a lot at the Music Minds gig in 2018. You know, all these people milling backstage and were going, I haven't seen you since, you know, so-and-so. The thing that I've realized most about this music community is how tight-knit it is. And, you know, as you said, Philip has got great musicians on his album, like Martin Belmont, who plays with Graham Parker and The Rumour. And, you know, people just work together and therefore, you know, they come across each other at all interesting times. So one of the things that I found exciting in the music business is that we're all in it together. You know, when I was in business, you were either customers, prospects, or competition. You know, there was, in some ways, there were strains in relationships. They were uneasy relationships. Maybe I'm wrong, but mostly in the music business, I'm seeing some, you know, very, very close business and personal relationships. And it's a lovely thing to be a part of, actually.
So the Phillips album's out. What single? What's the latest single?
The latest single is a song called Oceans Apart.
Oceans Apart, right, yeah.
The video for which we actually made in Liverpool, which is my hometown, as you know. We literally, the day before, in fact, you were in Liverpool that day before, if you remember, there was a whole gang of us went up for Ian Prowse's Monday night event in the Cavern.
Yes.
And yeah. The weather was terrible, and I thought, there's no way we'll shoot a video the next day. I mean, the Mersey's famous for these dreadfully cold winds that come off the water, you know, and it was looking foul. But if you look at the video, it's a beautiful day. It's like the skies parted and the sun came out. So we made a great video that day, and it was actually nice to show my hometown, you know, because that waterfront there is iconic, isn't it? The Three Graces and what have you. So I was pleased that Philip wanted to keep them involved, even though he's a Canadian and lives around the south, you know, south of in London and the home counties. We just loved the city. The scenery was fantastic, and it was great fun making that video.
Where's the fun? Staying at home. There's a whole wide world to adventure. And
so far this year, you've done Brand New Zeros, which is my band. That was we did our album was kind of complete at the start of the year, and we'll be releasing singles. And Human Kindness is the latest one, which people can find. We did it for the Artist for NHS again. That was that exact song.
But I'll tell you what I found. It's not the dollar or the pound. What makes the world go around is human kindness. What makes the world go around is human kindness.
Matt McManaman is another new signing. Now, I know Matt from, he actually sang on a record of mine a little while ago, and Matt's from Liverpool as well.
Yeah, he was originally, yeah, as you're saying, he was in a band in the 90s. I never, you know, I'm that bit older, so, but I didn't know he was the lead singer in a band called the Dead 60s, who had all sorts of hits and traveled the world and did really well. But I came across him again, one of those chance things. I went to see Ian Prowse play a gig in Oxford, and Matt was supporting him and played an acoustic set with his friend Vinny. And at the time, no real, you know, intentions of signing another act, but I just met with Matt, chatted to him, thought how great his music was, and it took a while, but eventually he's joined the label, and he's got some great new songs coming out, very different from his mid-60s stuff, but yeah, it's really,
yeah,
really
when I met him, he was playing with the Specials. When I met him, and he had a little stint with the Specials, which came to an end, and then he kind of found himself sort of not doing a lot. And I think he kind of that's when he really started to get back writing again and thinking, right, I want to do this thing, you know. And I think it was just the perfect timing, really, for you guys, for him. You know, he was just finding his feet again with writing some more stuff, and his great acoustic guitar. Yeah. It really shows his voice off, and I think it's got some beautiful songs, beautiful lyrics, and great sentiments in there. And I think it seems to be just the perfect timing for you for both the label and for him.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
So his latest single, Goodbye, is just when's that? That's out now, is it?
That came out, yeah. That came out at the start of May, actually. So. It was the 8th of May. So, Matt says he writes songs from his own personal experiences, and the song Goodbye is a very heart-wrenching story of a relationship breaking down and him having to leave. And so, you know, it's a very difficult subject, but the music sounds great. You know, it's something that I think that people can relate to, you know, in the current lockdown situation, there are lots of concerns about domestic abuse and violence going up as a result of this. So it wasn't written for that purpose, but it certainly resonates with the fact that, you know, it can be difficult living under the same roof as somebody else. And in our story, Matt decides to leave, and we shot a great video for it back in Liverpool again.
It's a beautiful video, yeah. Beautiful video, that.
Yeah, his hometown, my hometown, and indeed the videographer lived there as well. So it kind of chose itself. But we literally chose the neighbourhood where I was born and brought up just by chance. And, we tried to make it almost like a bit of a kitchen drama, you know, where the relationship starts well and then descends into a less happy time. But Matt played his first acting role, so we acted it out. He was a little bit unsure about that, but he did a really good job, actually. And we found a fantastic female lead for him, Emily Hunter, who I found through family connections and the Oldham Theatre workshop. So he and Emily did a great job. And as I say, it's a bit of a kitchen drama in 3 minutes, and it's a really enjoyable song. And you know, I think this is it. His songs have a lot of meaning, a lot of pathos, and you know, and they're beautifully made.
So a part in Brookside awaits him. This is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out. We know what he's going to be doing.
This time it's goodbye. I have to be the one to make this moment die. This boy is gonna fly. 'Cause I've been sitting here, pushing down my fear. There we are again, the rain came in and drenched my skin.
My darling Clementine, again, Michael Weston King did a fantastic video for Artists for NHS for Switchbox.
Yeah.
And so his single, Different Finger.
Yeah, that's the first single from the second volume. And
these are a series of EPs, right? These are a series of EPs.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we had intended to make just one album of 12 tracks. But we found that things were dragging out, and of course, you know, with the virus situation, we couldn't get the last four songs completed. So way back when, we decided, well, I actually wanted to go with three 10-inch EPs. I love the again, tactile thing. I love the shape and size of 10-inch singles. So we had thought about doing that, but in the end, we went for 12-inch vinyl LP, you know, LP size. EPs. And yes, what they've done, the theme is country darkness. They've chosen the darker side of Elvis Costello's catalogue and put their own twist on them. Obviously, Elvis wrote them as a solo singer, and Michael and Lou Dogleash, his wife in real life, they've adapted the songs, changed them lyrically, very slightly. Musically, they've adapted them. So Different Finger is a song that goes back to one of Elvis's early albums, Trust. And they've taken a very different take on it. They've made it like a Tex-Mex thing. And the animated cartoon that we put together to go with it underlies all that, you know, with cacti and setting suns and impromptu meetings in hotels, you know, in motels. So they've kind of taken the songs and put their own spin on them. And again, used some great musicians. And really what adds is cream on the cake for me is that Steve Naive's involvement has helped take them to a different place again. Some of these songs, though they are Elvis Costello's, of course, Steve didn't play on all of them. So he's been able to either revisit songs he has played on or put a fresh spin on a song that he never actually played with originally. So, volume two is about to come out in June. And we hope to have volume three out before the end of the year and then put them all together as a kind of a collective sort of greatest hits, almost, if you like, a compendium of all the 12 on a single CD, hopefully in time for Father Christmas.
So volume two is available for pre-order now, isn't it?
It's out for pre-order now. In fact, it starts shipping at the end of the week. It goes live the end of this week. That's the 5th of June.
Fantastic.
Please put your rings on a different finger if you meet me tonight. Because I can't stand those suspicious glances. Because I know the things they're saying are right.
They say, why don't we straighten up and see what we've got to lose? Put it all down to fate while we still got the chance to choose.
And what's coming up then? What else have you got? What else have you got coming up in the next little while? Coming out of Fretsoul?
Yeah, well, as well as the My Darling Clementine EP, we've also got a couple of songs coming out towards the end of June. In fact, one of them is from Uberfuse. So Uberfuse, an electro pop band that I came across by chance about 18 months ago. They're an electro pop band. And they're releasing a song called Father, hopefully in time for Father's Day. So not trying to be too exploitational, but it's a fantastic song, a lovely mellow pop song, which is perfect. Cherry's voice is fantastic as always on this. And Hal's arrangement is really, really kind of special. So that's coming on the 19th of June. And then the same day, actually, we've got a song called Sally's Got a Secret, which is released by a band called Don't Drink the Water. We were a five-piece band out in Northamptonshire who were recommended to us by a mutual friend of ours, Ian Griffiths, who Ian runs the Beetroot radio station, and he often has live guests. He had these guys in and said, Ian, you need to listen to them, and I think you could help them. So, you know, one thing led to another, and yes, we've got the single coming out end of the month, and an EP coming out in the next quarter. So lots more coming on. Obviously the bands that we've already talked about will have more material being released, and there's a lot more in the pipeline. Jack Henderson's got an album coming out. I'm working with a chap called Bob Collum, who is from Oklahoma originally. So for an Americana label, we've got actually one American, one genuine American on our Americana label, which is good. And Bob's a great singer, songwriter. Lily Garland is a great UK country singer who's won awards for the last couple of years down in Portsmouth. And a sad shout out for her. She was organising a festival called Country on the Coast down in South Sea. Last year was the inaugural event, and I thought she did a fantastic job then, and she had a great lineup arranged for this year, and then of course the whole thing disappeared with the COVID crisis. So Lily's very active, very keen supporter of country, UK country music, and to the extent that she creates her own festival. So, you know, I have a lot of admiration for her and the effort that takes. Apart from that, as I say, it's whatever comes along. You guys have got your album due out, hopefully, in the next quarter. So a lovely variety of material off that album to come out. So, you know, so far they've seen the softer side of Brand New Zeros, I think, with Love You If You Let Me and Human Kindness. So, you know, I want, and you and I both decided we want them to see a rockier side of Brand New Zeros. And there's certainly some great songs on that album coming out.
So thanks, Ian, for joining us. We'll come back to you and do some more updates about some new music that's coming out. You can find links in the blurb so people can discover all this music. And we wish you all the best, and we'll see you again. So, Ian Sefton, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Cheers, Brent.